One thing that I didn't prepare Pastor Daphne was we are doing trunk or treat October 31st, 3 to 5, going to be over here, whatever direction that is, parking lot. One day when I grow up, I want to be one of those guys that can just be like, it's going to be on the north side. And like, just know, like, it's going to be on the east north. Yeah, so I want to be one of those guys one day, like Chief Tommy Arnold, he'll be like, it's going to be on the north side of the building, going to be presenting. And I'll be like, Chief, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, just point at me. Just point to me. But anyway, we do need donations of candy. And what I want you to do is I want you to bring two bags. And just one you can put in my office, and the other you can put in Monica's office. And, you know, anyway, I think that's in the Bible somewhere where you bring some of your candy to the pastor. Anyway, one thing we do ask is if you make a candy donation for something like this, is please no peanuts, because the last thing we want is for one of these youngsters to eat something that they're allergic to. And, you know, we always try to, like, look at the kids' candy. And not so much that we're trying to protect them, but we take a tax out of it. You know, we just want to prepare them for, you know, adulthood. But sometimes the kids, as soon as they get the candy, they start chowing down, and we don't want them if somebody's got like a peanut allergy or something. So if you want to bring a bag of candy, awesome, great, that's so helpful. Pastor Monica will take those. You can bring them up to the office, and we'll get those to her. But we are doing trunk or treat. If you want to set up, if you want to park, we're going to try to do it outside. Last year we had to retreat to the indoors because we had some rain coming in. So just, you know, prayerfully, we're going to have a nice day. No rain that day. But anyway, we're going to set up over here, and we just invite everybody to come and just have a good time. And so, yeah. But I want to, before I get into my message, go ahead and turn, if you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 11 with me, and I want to tell you a story. You know, we took a break from me telling you guys about my cousin, and so I thought I'd go ahead and bring him back this week. We talked about him last week at Camo Sunday, which, hey, was that cool? You know, I really enjoyed myself. I got to preach in a camo pullover. It looked like I was about to just, you know, go out on the lease or whatever. So that was cool. And it's, you know what, superintendent said it, Pastor Daphne said it's okay to have fun in church. And one thing, we talk about all these events, and Brittany and I were talking about that on the way up here this morning. We're like, man, we've got something every stinking Saturday. And you know what, a busy church, we're doing things. The church is moving, the church is alive, the church is doing life together. And that's kind of a churchy thing to say, do life together. But the thing is, we don't believe we're better than any person ever anywhere, okay? I don't believe I'm better than anybody except Cowboys fans. But anyway, I'm sorry, Sean. I love you, brother. hey, but look, I'm going to have to break the bag out if some people don't start doing a little better. So I'm going to have to put it on my head again. But anyway, we don't think that we're better than anybody. And so we don't want to serve in front of you. We want to serve right next to you. So I want to tell you a story real quick before I jump into my sermon. I'm going to try to go quick here. But my cousin, he got to go to the Super Bowl last year. You guys remember the Super Bowl last year? We watched it. We had a good time. So he actually got to go, which is like, man. So, yeah, anybody here ever been to a Super Bowl? Yeah, I knew it. So he got to go, and while he was sitting there, he sat down, and he had spent $400 on a Coke and a burger. And so he sat down, and he looked to his left, and there was a spare seat between himself and the next guy. Remember, this is before social distancing, so he thought, why in the world? We're at the Super Bowl. Is this thing not sold out? And so he says to the man that's sitting on the other side of the seat, he says, hey, man, who would miss the Super Bowl? And so the guy looks at him. He says, that was my wife's seat. We've been to the last five Super Bowls together. But sadly, she passed away. So my cousin said, oh, well, awkward. He said, oh, that's terrible. But you couldn't get another member of your family or friend or someone else to come with you today? And the man says, no, son, they're all at the funeral. So, okay. All right. Stop telling jokes. All right. So, read with me in John. I guess I should have turned to it. I was making you guys turn to it. Luckily, it's the very beginning of the book. All right. So, John chapter 1 says, now a certain man was ill, and we're going to read a lot of scripture right now, so get ready. It says, now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he had heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days, or when he heard that when Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. We'll take a little break here for some exposition. You see, they had just left this place because he was doing these things. He was kind of, you know, he was going around. He was ministering to people. He was spreading the good news of the kingdom of God. And the Jews in that place were getting ready to kill him. They actually ran him and the disciples out of there because they wanted to kill them all. And so they said, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. And are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death. So he had to clarify that to them. You remember these disciples sometimes. But they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. See, they believed that just by going back to this place, Jesus was dead meat. They said, you don't need to go there. Those people are crazy. They want to kill you. And so he said, I'm going. And they said, well, you know what, boys, let's go with him. We might as well just go with him. We're all going to die together. And so now verse 17 says, now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Remember, these are the same people that just recently ran Jesus off. That's important. They just recently ran him off under threat of death, okay? Now they're here, and something really cool is about to happen. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to her. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise up and go out, they all followed her. So it was just like anytime anything happens on any street in Spring Hill, everyone jumps up and goes, "What's on? What's going on down there?" Everyone goes and checks it out. And so they all got up and they ran out. And they thought that she was going to the tomb of Lazarus to weep. And it says, 32 says, "Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.' When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping," which was probably a little awkward because he's going, "Wait, didn't you guys just try to kill me? And now you're you know, trying to be soft." When he saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. And so the Jews said, "See how he loved him. He's weeping." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone, Martha." The sister of the dead man said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." And I know I read a lot of scripture there. You guys are thinking, "Man, he's going to read the entire book." I wanted to build this scene. I wanted to set this scene for you. I want you to picture this. Jesus in front, the tomb behind, Lazarus in the middle. This is a great visual representation of three things that you encounter in your life. Number one, the tomb is behind you. Jesus is in front of you, and you are caught in the middle. The tomb is behind you. The tomb represents death and the failure of your past. Have you ever had anything rear up its ugly head a long time after it passed, a long time after that situation you thought was over? Something came back up. You saw someone, you heard something, and it brought back all this nasty stuff that you thought was dead. It was behind you, and you couldn't see it. Although you were looking ahead and you couldn't see it, it was still back there. The death of your past was still back there. What are we dealing with right now? You may have heard about it. It's called COVID. And there's a number behind it. What's the number? 19. Why? 2019. We are facing something from our past, and it's affecting people in a huge way. And all the time we see friends and family members, people that we know, sometimes we see ourselves being wrecked up by things that come from our past. And just like Lazarus, he came forward and that tomb sat there with that gaping, horrible looking mouth of that cave, and that was death. So he had to keep moving forward. The tomb is behind you, and it wants to derail you from your current goal. Remember, Satan cannot defeat you, but he can distract you. So if he can bring up all this baggage from your past, and cause you to sit still and wait and question your faith and take a break from following Jesus, from keeping your eyes on that goal long enough, the tomb can catch up with you. The darkness of your past can catch up with you and hold you back from success in Jesus, from following Him, from being blessed by Him and being able to bless other people because of Him. The tomb is behind you. The second thing is Jesus is in front of you. Lazarus came forth. He came forward. He came towards the voice of Christ saying, come out of there. Number one, He is compassionate for you. Two times in our text, and this is why I read the whole thing, because I wanted you to know this entire story, that Jesus is compassionate for us. It says two times that He was deeply moved. He cares about us. He was moved when Mary wept, and it says He was troubled as well. And I started thinking about that. What can trouble Jesus? What does that mean when you're troubled? It means you're worried. What could worry Jesus? You know, we sing these songs. We talk about Him being our Redeemer and our Healer and our hope. And how, if and we can place our hope in Him, how can we place our hope in someone that's worried about something? And so I really looked at that, and I looked close at that. You know what he's looking at? That's not saying that he's worried. That's not saying he's afraid. That's saying he's offended. Because he's looking death right in the face. And the ultimate enemy of Jesus, who is life, is death. And death entered our life when we fell. When Adam fell and Satan got to get in the way, death entered. And so Jesus, being compassionate but not afraid, is sitting here and he's seeing all this effect on people. He's seeing the effect of death on Martha, on Mary, on all these people. And he says, I know what you are. I know what you are. It's not just someone's gone. It's death trying to take a victory. And Jesus knows that. And so that's what that means. And so immediately, he's compassionate for us. But when he sees, I'm going to do something about this. Immediately, number two, he is prepared for our problem. He's compassionate for us, and he is prepared for your problem. So nothing takes Jesus by surprise. He wept with Mary, but he was so offended by death that he cut the party short, and he said, wait a minute, where is he? He says, I'm not going to sit here and sit in this pity party and worry about this, because guess what? Jesus knows that He is the way. He is the life. He knows that true victory is found in Him. And so he says, we're going to go win a battle right now. And he says, where is he? And the third thing, when we're talking about Jesus being in front of us, this is what I'm telling you. Don't falter. Don't stop, because these three reasons. He's compassionate. That's why he beckons you, because he loves you so. And he is prepared for whatever we're carrying, whatever's got us, whatever's dragging us back, whatever's trying to grab us around our heels, he's prepared to deal with. And he is powerful enough to overcome your problem and to give you power to be an overcomer. He said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Jesus isn't just ready to stand beside you in the midst of turmoil. He is powerful enough to do so. You don't want somebody next to you. If you get in a bad situation, you don't want somebody next to you to know what they're doing. I want to tell you guys a really funny story. Listen, we already gone past our time, so I'm just going to take advantage. Okay, we might lose our seat at Chavo's. It'll be all right. Listen, I responded, oh, man, I'm going to tell an ugly story on myself. But y'all love me, so it's okay, I think. So we responded one time to a fire, and I was kind of nervous. It was a big, big fire. It was huge. And I got in trouble, and I had to run laps around the station. We're not going to talk about that. And so I was, there it goes. And so I was winded, and so we got to this big fire, and my chief says, hey, I want you to get up on this fire truck, and I want you to use this deck gun. And this deck gun shoots out a lot of water. And I got up there, and I felt pretty cool, okay? I felt like Rambo. because I had this big machine gun of water. And I was trying to work the thing, and I could not make it work right. And they were telling me, oh, you got to move it. We need it over here. We need it over here. And so, listen, don't ever talk about Tommy Arnold. Because fire trucks are big, and I needed help. And I didn't know what to do. And so I thought I knew how to run this, and I just couldn't make it work. And so I look up, and I see my chief. Boom, he just jumps on top of that. Well, that's what it looked like anyway. He comes up, he clambers up the side of this fire truck, and he runs up there, and he fixes it for me. And I was like, oh, thanks, but I didn't see how he fixed it. And so he goes down, and he's running around, and he's getting this stuff. He's fixing, he's going around, and he's fixing everybody else. And guess what? It happened again, and I just couldn't get it to work right. And I said, Chief, I need help. And guess what? He clambers right back up on top of that thing. And some of these young guys have a hard time getting up and down from these things. And so to see my chief coming up that thing, it got me in my feels just a little bit, you know. Got me in my feelings. But that's the thing. When you're facing something, you don't want somebody next to you who don't know what they're doing. You don't want somebody next to you that doesn't know what they're doing, because that only makes the situation worse. Because then they get messed up, and when they fall over, they fall on you, and it's a domino effect, okay? And so guess what? We get to have hope knowing that not only is Jesus compassionate for us, he cares about our problems, he is prepared to deal with our problems, he is powerful enough to walk with us right through those situations. Come on, somebody. And listen, it's not a religious thing. It's a relationship thing. When you're facing something in your life, that's not a crutch. Some people, you know, they might want to get on to it. So, oh, well, you know, when you face a hardship, you just call out. Yeah, I know. Because I know where my help comes from. Listen, you better call somebody you know. So he is powerful enough to help you overcome your problem. But I love my Savior. I love the way he does things. Because Jesus, this is revolutionary. Jesus doesn't just hand the solution to you. He brings it to you, and he helps you to learn how to walk on your own two feet through that thing. And he walks with you. He says, I never leave you, I never forsake you. But you gotta fight too. And that's so good. And so the final thing, we talked about the tomb is behind us. Things that we've dealt with, things that we've come through are behind us. Jesus is in front of us. Our hope, our goal is in front of us. The final thing is we find ourselves in the middle. So Jesus has called you away from the tomb. He said, Sean, come out of that situation. He said, Rusty, come out of that situation. But that pit is hungry, and it wants you back. The sin of your past, the failures, the lies, the angry words. Have you ever said anything ugly to somebody? To this day, I can remember I said something really ugly to a young lady, and she and I had come to a disagreement. I'm sure none of y'all have ever had that before. But she and I came to a disagreement, and I was so mad that I let Satan hijack my tongue, and I said something so ugly to that young lady. And to this day, I've never apologized to her, because I don't know where she is. I don't know what she's just gone from my life. And I carry that with me. And every once in a while, it pops up in the back of my head, said, man, I can't believe you, JB. I can't believe you said that to that girl. How evil are you? And those are the kind of things, as you're walking towards Christ, those are the kind of sounds that come out of that pit to make you stop long enough to turn around and get your eyes off of redemption. You are not done. Remember that. You're not done. Philippians 3:13 and 14 says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of the truth. Come on. Don't do it. Because that is the one thing that your enemy can do to you to cause you to mess up. If he can distract you, then he can cause you to defeat yourself. He can't beat you. He can't stop you. As long as you got your eyes on Jesus. And listen, even if you stumble, if you go down on one knee, keep looking there. Don't look down here. Come on. Because even as you struggle and you fight and you get bloody knees and beat up, keep looking at him. Whatever you're going through. And guess what? Don't stop looking at him, but you reach out to your side and you're going to feel a brother or a sister, somebody else that's walking towards the same thing. Grab on tight. That's why the name is Community Church. Because we want to hold on tight to each other. And I just think about that Jesus knew when he went back to Jerusalem, he knew that he would die. I never thought about that in the Lazarus story. You know, we talk about, oh, Jesus, he raised Lazarus from the dead, but he knew going back there would cost him his life. He did it anyway. Guess what? While I was laying in that tomb, he went to the cross. And there's one thing that I want to say before we close. The final part of this story says, when Lazarus came forth, Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. Those grave clothes represent the scars and the baggage that a lot of us still carry. The uniform of the tomb. Jesus says, drop those things. Get them off. You don't have to carry those anymore. You don't have to carry the hurt, the failure, the anxiety. You don't have to carry that. Come to me. We sing a song called Graves to Gardens. And I want to tell you something. When we keep going forward, and that tomb gets farther and farther behind us, the fruit, the things that happen, the life, the growth that we encounter, come on. And one of the most beautiful things that happens is the closer we get to Christ and we begin to see this garden to grow. And I'm using a metaphor here because I really can't grow a garden. We begin to see these things and we begin to see fruits. Guess what we get to do, church? We get to bless somebody else. That person that's on your side, maybe they're struggling. Maybe they just went down. Guess what? Because you've got the life of Christ, because you're pursuing him, guess what you get to do? You get to help bring them back up. Come on, in it together. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray together that we pursue the life of Jesus, that we pursue Christ, that we pursue hope. Don't ever turn around and look at that.